To the bravest generation, my parents and my four centennial ancestors, who were a part of a noble generation of Americans who were told to watch their step, but nonetheless chose to stride forward fearlessly with hope, duty, and courage. Until the lion learns how to write, every story will glorify the hunter. Chinua Achebe, Things Fall Apart. Prologue, In a Heartbeat. My name is Damaris Fitzgerald Smith, and for 14 years, I was executive director of the National Football League Players Association, representing the human beings who suited up for your favorite teams. I worked for neither the franchises nor the cabal of greedy billionaires who control the league, which makes them some of the lever pullers in our larger society. I worked for the players. The men whose uniform included an NFL helmet and pads, whose workplace was one of the league's training facilities or stadiums, who bled or cracked ribs or got their bell rung, they were my bosses. And my job as the leader of the union was to fight for them, go to war for them, always against their own bosses and the league's commissioner, Roger Goodell. The men who run the NFL are the same kinds of people who have traditionally accumulated power in the United States: rich, narcissistic, insecure. But rather than pursue political office, where their more devious impulses might play out in public view and be subject to re-election campaigns, these megalomaniacal capitalists have found and exploited a loophole. In 2017, when President Donald Trump wanted an ally as he publicly attacked San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, whose on-field protests of police violence transcended sports and captured the nation's attention, it wasn't just Trump's cabinet or top advisors he contacted. It was Jerry Jones, who owns the Dallas Cowboys. When Trump was making his first run for the White House in 2016, his confidants included Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, who has claimed to have known Trump since the 1990s. Jerry and Kraft are the most powerful people in the NFL and are therefore some of the most influential people in the country. Be they in the Oval Office or a stadium's owner's suite, these men do not see the general public as human. They are voters and customers and fans. NFL owners view their own team's players not as people with families, aspirations, or pride. They are laborers and commodities, nothing more. An army of soldier ants who can and will be replaced by one of the thousands of cheaper options in college football or lower-tier leagues. Owners only pretend to care about a player's remarkable journey from youth football to college and the pros, the sacrifices that must be made to reach the highest peak in American sports, or how many physical and socioeconomic hurdles must be crossed to reach this point. They don't ache for the aging men whose careers end with chronic pain in their shoulders and hips. They don't worry for those who fear that football may have damaged their brains. If someone's performance dips, or they question authority, or God forbid, publicly challenge the league, owners band together, emboldened by the full might of the NFL league office, and stop at nothing to squash this ant and send a message to the remaining army. Because to them, a rogue is a threat to their business model, which centers on playing games, and no threat can or will be tolerated. How could I make such callous suggestions? Because they've told me this is what they think. I spent 14 years with a front row seat, and again, owners showed me with their actions by choosing the almighty dollar over humanity and compassion and fairness every single time. It didn't matter if you were Zach DiAssi or Tom Brady. Of the roughly 341 million people who live in the United States, about 800 are billionaires. That translates to about 0.0002% of the American population. But those 800 people hold more than half of the entire nation's wealth. According to Oxfam, which studies economic inequality, for every dollar an